forget that we are saved by grace.
Right.
Amazing grace because of what Jesus Christ did, sacrificing his life on the cross for humanity and for all the sin. He paid the ultimate price so you and I would not have to. And sometimes we forget that in how we live our life, in how we talk, in how we treat others, realizing someone paid the price that I'm not going to have to pay, even though I should have been the one crucified. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, I can see there's several on vacation or on trip this weekend and whatever, but praise the Lord, where two or three are gathered,
yeah.
He's here.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is here this morning, and so we're thankful. We are here to, if you're visiting, we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets all the honor. He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise,
yeah.
And we're thrilled to be able to serve our Lord and Master. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we just commit the balance of the service to you and this day to you. We thank you for this day, for it is a day that you made, and we're to be glad in it, no matter what we're involved in or happening in our life. We're to be glad for this day, because this day has a purpose, and you are going to fulfill that purpose in each one of us and within this world. And so, Lord, we thank you. We ask that your anointing be on each one of us this morning, and we thank you for the anointing upon your word. And, Lord, that it will be a challenge and encouragement to us, Lord, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Memorial Day, I made a note here. I wanted to make sure that we pray for the families in Texas. What a horrible thing. And I can't imagine the parents going through that type of a thing. But that's what evil is. That's what sin is. And that's why we should learn to hate sin. Because this is an example of what sin does. It destroys lives. Not only those children, but the young man who killed them. God loved him too. But he chose somewhere along the line. He went off the deep end or whatever happened. And sin destroyed him for all eternity. And these young children, I pray God knows, and I believe they're with him right now. And we just pray right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would send comfort to the moms, the dads, the relatives, the friends, any of the families, Lord, who have lost a young child this past week in Texas. And Lord, we would ask that we would have revival in the land. Lord, they're questioning in both parties what we can do to stop this kind of thing. It's promoted by many of those in politics today. They're happy about it because they can achieve certain things and power. But Lord, we're asking that you are the true answer. You. And Lord, we need to get back to you. Lord, we know the answer. And his name is Jesus. Lord, we need prayer at the doorposts of every school. I saw a picture, Heavenly Father, of a guard with a machine gun in a school standing there on guard. And it says in the caption that this is what every school needs in America.
Wow.
No, every school needs Jesus back in there. Every home needs Jesus. He is the answer to sin's problem. And Lord, I pray, Father, that there is a move of God going on in our country right now that is going to awaken your church and your people to help us to begin to live the life you've called us to do. And we thank you. We praise you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a time each year when we pause to remember those who laid down their lives for their family, their friends, and their freedom. It's our law enforcement and our military. Every single day are putting their lives on the line to protect us and to help us. And so those who have lost their lives, we honor them today in memory and thank the Lord for them. And the message I want to speak on today is out of the book of Daniel, and I'm going to kind of park there. So if you turn to chapter 5, if you brought your Bibles, that's where I'm going to be giving the message from. And I pray that it will help you and I to remember, the day, this day, and for always what God has done for us. 1 week after Pearl Harbor attack, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them."
That's right.
Don't we?
Yeah.
Freedom is never really free. It's almost always bought with the blood of patriots. Somebody's paying a price for it, and we take it for granted. The biggest battle we as Americans are facing today is the battle for the very soul of our nation. Our nation is under attack. It's under attack from many different avenues, and sin is in the land. We see it all around us every day, don't we? Everywhere we look, television, internet, social media, wherever it is, we're seeing what's happening to our nation is under attack. The erosion of our society has been a slow process, and that's how it usually happens, in increments, a little bit at a time, so it's not recognizable. And that's what happens when sin comes into your and my life. It doesn't happen boom like this. It comes in little spurts, little increments of things, little seeds, whatever. And then it continues to grow in our life as we surrender to it. But we've seen it accelerate rapidly in just the past few years, pitting one group of people against another. Trying to push sinful lifestyles like homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, lawlessness, dumbing down our youth in schools with ridiculous things going on. And it's happening within America.
Yeah.
And it's getting so common that we tolerate it. Don't we? Sometimes we get mad at the wrong people. But we should get mad at the leadership of a nation when they promote it themselves right from their offices. But then when it gets out there, we begin to tolerate it. And then so it goes into the schools and our young people begin to tolerate sin and think, what's wrong with it? They do interviews with kids in school and they ask about homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism. And most of them, they say, that's no problem. Because that's what they're doing. That's what they're after. They're after the minds of the youth. And they continually to do it. So the nation that we've come to know and love is continuing to erode. The position we're in today is because of what we tolerated yesterday. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Remember homosexual marriages? Today they're tolerated even by people within the church. Even pastors in large churches are promoting it and accepting it in our nation today. And you say, well, Pastor, I'd kind of appreciate if you wouldn't kind of preach on that kind of stuff today. Well, this kind of day is what our soldiers died for, the freedom for me to be able to do it.
That's right.
And I know that we all like to hear on encouraging messages, and I do too. I like to hear messages that affect my personal life. I like to hear messages of deliverance. I like to hear all those, and I preach those things. But I want to speak today on remembering what's happening to a nation. The fifth chapter of Daniel describes the collapse of a culture, and we need to be aware of that, people. History has a way of repeating itself down through the centuries. They became so comfortable and secure within the confines of their strong walls, but they crumbled within. We are crumbling within the walls of our nation. The way I see it, Babylon made a huge mistake. They lost all sense of remembrance, okay? They lost all sense of reality. They lost all sense of restraint. And they lost all sense of respect. The four R's. That's what happened to Babylon. But on this Memorial Day, my prayer is that we would be challenged to be a people of repentance, and that we would acknowledge that anything we do is vanity without the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit desperately and moving in our daily lives. The danger of losing all sense of remembrance, Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. See, Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. His sin was the same as his grandfather when you read the story. And when I read that, I thought about that too, that somebody's watching. Again, I'm going to repeat, someone is watching your and my life. We're influencing our children within the home, and everywhere else people are being influenced because somebody's watching. Because here Belshazzar, the grandson, repeated the very same things as his grandfather. He was watching his grandfather growing up, I can have no doubt about it. He heard all the things his grandfather was doing when he was king. It says in verse 23, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. And here now we see Belshazzar's doing it. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver, of gold, of brass, of iron, of wood and stone, which see not and made not hear, nor know. Those things, none of those. People hold the things of this world up and they idolize them. They worship them in however manner that is. And they can't hear and they can't see and they don't know. None of it. But yet people will worship idols. And then it goes on to say, and the God in whose hand thy breath is. God's got your breath.
Yes. Yes.
And whose are all thy ways has thou not glorified. Just think what happened to Belshazzar watching his grandfather. You don't think your life is important? And I see a few younger people in here too. And do you realize there's younger people below you that are still forming and growing, and they're watching you and seeing how you live your life too? And you have an impact on them? It's not just about me. It's everybody around me, my family, friends, co-workers, whatever. Somebody's watching my life to see, am I really who I say I am? Belshazzar's problem was the same many people have today. He had forgotten some of the valuable lessons from the past. Lessons like his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had learned the hard way. The king learned the hard way. It says in Daniel 4:37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar learned. Did you see that right there? God was able to bring him down. He never thought at one point that that would ever happen, but God did. We have people in power today that think they're so high and mighty that nothing will ever touch them, and they're arrogant and boasting and destroying a nation within by decisions they make because they think nobody can touch them. Well, I got a story for them if they want to read Daniel chapter 5. God knows how to silence sin.
That's right.
Proverbs 6:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Right.
People say, well, I can deal with it. I'm strong. I can do it my way. I'm strong and I can do it. I know how to handle it. That's pride.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell you what to do because you think you got it and you got the answer. And that's pride. Daniel gives us an important insight when he challenges the king with the accusations that you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. That's what Belshazzar was doing. He was boasting about himself. That's why, you know, even our little little microscopic, little bitty, itty bitty church in the world here, Crossfire. I could boast and say, look what I did. Look what I'm doing. Look what I've done. You could say the same thing. Look at this. And that would be totally wrong. It's only by the grace of God we got this property.
Right.
Yeah. Wouldn't me. It's only by the grace of God, everything within this facility. There's churches, there's people around the world that are having church out in the woods and in caves all around the world because they have nothing.
Right.
And God has saw fit to supply us with a property and everything we pretty much need in order to come together and to fellowship and to worship Him and to learn of Him. Amen?
Amen.
It's not me. That's why I said earlier, if you're visiting, all the glory goes to God. Every bit of it goes to Him.
Amen.
Belshazzar picked up right where King Nebuchadnezzar left off in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Do you see that I and my's? He must have carried an iPhone 2 and an iPad so he could do a selfie. But there it is. I have built my power, my majesty. He doesn't realize he had nothing.
That's right.
Again, pride always leads to a fall. It's right up there at the top of the list, the things that God despises and He hates. God hates pride. How many things are destroyed because of pride? How many businesses are destroyed because of pride? How many marriages are destroyed because of pride? Huh? Come on, don't get quiet on me. Many. Look how many children are destroyed because of pride.
Yeah.
It's right up there. And if you don't want to take my word for it, just ask Satan. He was kicked out of heaven because of what?
Pride.
Ask Adam and Eve. They were kicked out of the garden because of what?
Pride.
And then you can ask King David. And you can ask Peter also. Both walked in pride. America used to honor God unashamedly and openly. We did. It's etched in numerous monuments all over the nation's capital. Oh, by the way, it's interesting because a couple of people went around on a beach, I think it was in Florida, and they interviewed young college students. And they asked them, they told them that Russia is attacking
Ukraine.
No. What's the monument in Rapid City again?
Mount Rushmore.
I got that senior moment there. I knew what it was, but it was just stuck. But anyway, they said, did you know that Russia was attacking Mount Rushmore? And they did six different young people from colleges. And the answer from all six of them pretty much was the same. They say, I didn't know that. And then you say, well, which country is Mount Rushmore in? None of them knew. That's how dumbed down our society has become. It's carved in granite. Listen, why do you think they're trying to get rid of our monuments? Because it's the history.
Yeah.
It's etched in numerous monuments all over the nation's capital. It's carved in granite on many government buildings we hold dear, and it's printed on our currency also in God We Trust. There was a time when we credited Him with our blessings and our successes and turned to Him in every trial and losses. In fact, I was thinking about the old-time movies, the old black and whites that you get on television, some of the old westerns and everything. If you watch them, you'll see that many times the Bible is used in many portraying in many of these programs, and even moms and dads sitting around tables with their children pray before every meal, and every time they had a trial, they cried out to God in these movies. Now His name's blasphemed from one end to the other on movies. But today, like Babylon, we seem to have lost a sense of remembrance. Yeah. President Woodrow Wilson said it best, a nation that does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today or what it is trying to do. We are about a futile thing if we do not know where we came from and what we have been about. That's why they've been tearing down our monuments, trying to destroy the Constitution, changing the history books so our young mush mind kids will stay worse than mush mind. In many ways, we've forgotten our past. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." God's telling us that we are to remember the old paths.
Yes.
We know things change and become new, but we need to look back and remember the old paths. Remember the times when you cried out to God and God answered. Remember the time when the altars were full of people, when they had marital, relational, sickness problems, and that people would come to the altars. Remember the old ways. But have you noticed that many of the newer churches that are popped up by the dozens everywhere don't even have crosses anymore? Don't even have crosses. What was it about America that made us so great and caused men and women from all nations around the world to risk their lives and fortunes to come here? And they still do. They still want to come here. Is there something about America that distinguishes us from our neighbors to the north and to the south? Well, Canada was settled by French explorers who were looking for gold. And Mexico was settled by Spanish explorers who were also looking for gold. But listen, America was settled by men and women who came here primarily looking for God and to worship Him freely. That's how America was established. No wonder the devil wants to bring this nation down. They came searching for a home where God could be exalted and worshiped in spirit and freedom and truth. And we've fallen a long way from where once we were.
Yes.
You know, I popped in my mind, you know, somebody wrote a book called 19 Minutes in Hell. I don't know if I'd ever want to, but could you imagine? Maybe our country would change if we could let many of our young people and even us look at hell just for 60 seconds. Maybe we'd have a whole different outlook on our thoughts and our attitudes toward a great nation and towards sin. We've gotten so far off our founder's path that it's not uncommon to see the federal courts that repeatedly are doing such things as they're restricting major scenes.
Yeah.
We know that. From city squares and removing the Ten Commandments display, they're trying to get them all down. That's what they're working on. From government buildings and prayer, and even prayer in school. They don't want our kids to pray. That's where our help comes from.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe a bunch of us Christians ought to surround a school and say, we want prayer back in schools. We want God as number one. And just like Babylon, there's an expensive price to pay when a nation loses all sense of remembrance and who they are and where they've come from. The danger of losing all sense of reality now. Daniel 5:1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to thousands. Did you hear that? To 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. There's a party going on. Party! In order to understand how the king had lost all sense of reality around him, we need to remember that outside the city walls of Babylon and Mede and the Persians surrounded the city. That was happening around this city. But inside, Belshazzar is partying.
Yeah.
And all that's happening around him and not even realizing it. The reality of what was really happening in their nation was happening all around them while they were more concerned about what they were doing. The Babylonians thought that because of their history of dominance and their strong walls, they were invincible and destructible. Does it kind of ring a bell a little bit there? Those walls stretched roughly 60 miles in circumference for that city. But everywhere you look beyond them, you could see the enemy surrounding the city. But there's no problem, they thought. We got it made. We've got this wall all around us, and we're tough. How many times have we been told how great America is and how great our army and our military is, and we are superpower, and nobody can stand up against us? We're being told that today. After all, listen to Babylon now. The walls, when you research, they were 417 feet high, the walls in Babylon. 417 feet high. Do you know how thick those walls were, by the way? Those walls were 108 and a half feet thick. They were impossible to penetrate, and 20-year supply of rations lay inside those walls. They were comfortable. They were having a good time and drinking and partying. Nobody can touch us. So what did Belshazzar do? He lost all sense of reality because of that. So he threw a big party, invited thousands of his guests, with destruction was at their very door. And when we begin to feel secure in our own strength, danger is just on the other side of the wall. America is being surrounded by our enemies right now. And we have leadership within this nation that have lost all reality. Many people today think that just because they got away with something before, they'll get away with it again. Well, listen to me. I don't care whether people believe this when I say it to them or not, but listen to Numbers 32 and 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out.
That's right. Amen.
Everybody in here, any sin hidden, whether in your mind, your heart, or wherever, it will be found out. It will come to light in a way that you hope it probably wouldn't someday, too. That's why it's good to come to Jesus and let him forgive and put it under the blood and wash it all away.
Amen.
And live for him.
Yes.
He's a powerful God.
Amen.
So this king was too blind and drunk on his own success to realize that the strength of a kingdom or an individual is never on the outside, but it's what's happening within the inside of us. It's what's happening with inside of a nation, what's happening with inside you and I. Many people today think that just because they got away with something before, they're going to get away with it again. That's where the arrogance comes in even today with our corrupt politicians. They've gotten away with it so much they're arrogant. They come right out in the open and tell us what they're doing now because they're so arrogant that nobody will ever be able to touch them. But Jesus says, your sin will find you out. This king was too blind and drunk to realize that. Babylon soon fell because they had become corrupt on the inside with no more sense of remembrance or reality. And that's why people, individuals, become corrupt and they fall and are destroyed when they least expect it. We can take this home personally, too. Don't try to hide sin. God will not be mocked. You think you're arrogant and smart and you're smarter than your parents, you're smarter than your grandparents, you're smarter than your great-grandparents. You're not. You're sure not smarter than God, nor am I. Jesus said in Matthew 23, 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. How many people do we see that are making fine speeches and everything, all dressed properly and charismatic in every way they are and everything, and they're trying to make us believe they are something they're not, and with inside they're full of dead men's bones. Some people today foolishly think that somehow God needs America to carry out his plan on earth. He doesn't. He doesn't. After all, we've won all the world wars, right? We won them all. And we seem, and the Cold War's over. We've done pretty good. Who needs God? That's what the world wants us to say. And we seem to be the only real superpower still standing in the world today. That's what they're trying to say. Lost all forms of reality. But I believe God is saying this to us today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. We can fall as a nation. I'm praying that God will give us a reprieve. I am believing right now that God is on the move in our nation. I believe there's enough brothers and sisters in Christ that are in prayer. That's why we hold a Sunday night prayer on Zoom. That's why we pray church in the morning during the week. And I'm believing with many millions of brothers and sisters around the world that God's moving. We have many people outside the walls of America that are praying for this nation. But 1 Corinthians 10:12 is actually a warning against backsliding. It's a warning. I'm going to read it again. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he can fall. Well, I can handle it. I can do it. Better take heed. Like those in ancient Babylon, we too think that we're invincible. But remember, there was a time when Israel was the world's most superpower in the world. They were one nation under God. Their motto was, "In God we trust." 3,000 years later, God gave birth to another nation called America. God gave America a law built and based upon Israel's ancient commandments back there. Why should we think we are invincible people? Why should we? I think that now more than ever, it's time for us to remember who we are, where we've come from. Amen?
Amen.
We need to do that. I think it's time for us to look at the reality of what's going around us and truly pray, crying out to God for forgiveness.
Yes.
And that God would bless America again.
Yes.
But we need repentance in America.
Yes.
The danger, the next one, the danger of losing all sense of restraint. Daniel 5:2. Belshazzar, while he's tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold, the golden and silver vessels, which his father, actually his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. That was the leaders of Babylon. When a nation or an individual loses all sense of remembrance and reality, they also lose all sense of restraint. Anything goes. What's happening in America today?
Yeah.
Coming right from the top.
Yeah.
The Babylonians were too blind to see any connection between moral decay and national decline. Too blind to see it. Sound familiar? Daniel 5 verse 2 describes what the Old Testament politely calls the concubines. These were women who were kept for the king's pleasure for the purpose of sexual gratification and additional procreation. That's why they were there. Our nation, like Babylon, has been virtually given over to sexual permissiveness. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And perversion of all types. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
All the way from the White House to the church house.
Yeah.
It's even in the churches.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's a church in New York that the people, when they get to church, they take all their clothes off?
Oh.
It's true. We're living in some serious times, people. I know most people don't want to hear those types of men, but once in a while you got to preach on them too. But our country, I don't have enough time here this morning to talk about all the various sexual things that our young people and our society is being bombarded with, like through the movies and television and media and the internet and even from our government. Men have stopped leading their families in spiritual and moral development. Men have got to stand in the gap, whether the kids like it or anybody else in the family, as long as he is not a dictator and he's leading his home according to the Word of God, not demanding, but leading. Did you hear that? Serving and leading the family, that they follow suit. We need more men like that today.
Yes.
We need men like that.
Amen.
Then because male and female role models are no longer prominent in the home, children are developing identity problems of their own. That's why we're having the mess that we have in the young people today around America. Thank God there's a great generation coming up. God's always going to have his people. But I tell you, we've got a lot of young people, their lives are being messed up because a mom and dad's not fulfilling their jobs according to this.
Amen.
Not according to society, but according to this. And they're losing their children. Many of them are neglected, and for the most part, they're undisciplined. Much like the Babylonians, we've lost all sense of restraint. And then the last one, the danger of losing all sense of respect. Daniel chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken. Listen, they were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. No respect anymore. It was sinful enough for drinking, for such drinking to be going on, but to use the sanctified vessels from the house of God in Jerusalem in such a drunken brawl was going too far. You know what it's in Crossfire? I don't want drink and food in here. Not because I'm super spiritual or anything, but we honor God in this room. You want to do that, you can do it out there, or if you're hungry, eat at home, as Paul said. If you want to point the finger at me. Boy, you're rude, dude. No, I'm not. It's in the Bible. Paul told people, if you're hungry, eat at home. And there's no reason for people to come to church and sit in here and eat and drink. Even though that's promoted in many churches today. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it based on this. And I don't agree with it based on Daniel chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. What happened in there, they lost all respect. Here we see the crumbling culture of Babylon. Nothing was sacred to them anymore. Have you noticed that many of the new churches, again, are doing many things like that? Allowing certain things in their churches? Not all, but many of them are. A lot of not good things happen. They lost all respect for God himself because it's all about how you feel, how I feel. Tickle our ears. But we don't want to come and take time to worship this loving God who died on a cross for us. You know, all the problems and all the people that got such serious problems, they can be delivered from them through the power of God.
Yeah.
But when the people show disrespect for the house of God and the things of God, there's no power to deliver anybody. But I tell you what. Get close to Jesus. Get on fire for God. And I tell you, the people that are walking in misery right now and they've got things in their lives that are so bound in that they need deliverance, send them here.
That's right.
Amen.
We've got people in this church who have a desire to bring deliverance to households.
Yes.
Whatever that may be. Daniel chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Verse 4 says, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, and wood, of stone. That's what they were doing. They lost all respect. Here we're seeing the crumbling culture of Babylon. Nothing was sacred to them anymore. Have you noticed that within our modern society today? How we've lost the respect for anything sacred. They had abandoned all absolutes. There was no more restraints, and now there's no more respect for anything that is sacred. It was party time in Babylon. Then an amazing thing happens. At the height of their revelry, at the feast of when idols were praised and the sacred vessels of the true God were desecrated in Daniel chapter 5, verse 5. Listen, in the same hour, came forth the fingers of man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. I think he sobered up pretty fast. this hand comes out of nowhere and begins to write on the wall. They're all drinking and having a whale of a good time, not realizing what's happening. Daniel 5:6 says, "Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another." That old boy was scared.
Yeah.
He was pale. The blood rushed out of his head. He was trembling. He saw that hand and he saw that message being written. The king sobered up pretty quick. He is now experiencing fear and terror. And that's what many today in our world that are living in sin one day will face, just like King Belshazzar. They will be living in sin and thinking they're getting away with everything and going about their life, destroying their own as well as maybe others by their sinful lifestyle. And one day there's going to be a hand writing on the wall. And it's going to be too late. The whole body of King Belshazzar trembled and shaken, I'm sure, in distress. Listen to Daniel 5:7. The king whispered.
No.
Right.
No.
The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. He called the wrong people. That's what they're depending on in our society today, even in our government, whether you believe it or not. They're calling on the wrong wise men.
Yeah.
And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, they weren't too wise to me anyway, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation, therefore shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Belshazzar followed the pattern of his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, in calling for the so-called wise men. His grandfather did the same thing. Into the party hall comes Daniel, a man of God. Daniel 5:13. "Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry?" See, now Daniel, he wasn't at the party, by the way. Today there's too many of God's people that are at the party.
Yeah.
Daniel wasn't at the party. Most people don't want the man of God around when the liquor's flowing and when the permissive actions are present by the men and women there. I haven't been invited to parties. As I have been in business, I wasn't invited to meetings because they didn't want me sitting next to them. And I never, ever allowed that to bother me. I said, "Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, because it's really not me. It's who I represent. It's not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit." And that's actually spared me from a lot of heartache of hurting my wife, hurting my daughter, hurting my family, hurting my friends, making other people stumble, because the Holy Spirit would speak to these other people and say, "Stay away from that guy." But when the writing on the wall, when the crisis comes, they no longer want their immoral friends and drinking buddies. Did you know that?
That's right.
They're looking for someone who can tell them what that means. And that's what happens in reality of life. When there's people in our life, when a person begins to live in a sinful lifestyle and is living in a sinful lifestyle, everything's great as the party's going on. But all of a sudden, something changes. And all of a sudden, all your partying friends, they don't have an answer. The soothsayers don't. The witches don't. The warlocks don't. All those so-called wise people that know the future don't. But they say Jesus does, and a man of God or a woman of God. That's who you want to talk to. I heard about sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, and they believe in Jesus, and they believe God can deliver, can help, and give an answer to my situation. They don't go to their drunken buddies because they know they're as in deep a trouble as they are. And you'll notice that in life. But as Daniel looked around, the shouting and the drinking and the sex had come to a stop. A strange silence filled that banquet hall. You can almost hear all the writing going, and all of a sudden the handwriting, and it gets dead serious in there. The king is trembling. They're probably seeing his pant legs just moving in fear. People looked as if they were frozen in time when they looked around the room. The sacred vessels were scattered around the tables. Daniel was the only one in the room who was calm. The only one. Then he did what every preacher should do. He took God's word and without fear or favor simply revealed to them what God said. That's what a preacher does. You're preachers too. That's what we do. Listen to Daniel as he stands before them. But before he interpreted the handwriting on the wall, he preached a sermon to them with 3 points. Don't we just love that? At least we know there's only 3. If there's 20, they probably didn't want to hang around. But here is the first point. There was a word about power. Daniel reminded Belshazzar, the king, Nebuchadnezzar's power came from God. Daniel 5, verses 18 and 19. O thou king, thou most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew and whom he would kept alive, and whom he set up and whom he would put down. Guy had power, but it came from God. Second, Daniel said there was a word about pride. Daniel reminded the king Nebuchadnezzar lost his kingdom because of his pride, Daniel 5:20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. And then the third one was there was a word about punishment, Daniel 5:21. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was in the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will.
That's right.
You know, I wish it'd really be kind of interesting if you could get a big screen and show what sin does and what people look like, what sin has done to them after years. Let them see. Let young people see what happens. Let older folk who are still dabbling in things see what sin is doing to their lives and the destruction it's bringing. King Nebuchadnezzar was punished until he came to realize it. Daniel 4:32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee eat grass as an oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. It's God who raises up leaders.
Yes.
It's God who gives the permission. It's God. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And you may be arrogant. We may be arrogant in our sinful lifestyles, but there will be a point when it will stop.
Right.
And we will see the result of it. Next, Daniel applied the text. He said in Daniel 5:22, "It is thou, O king, that art growing and become strong, for thy greatness is growing and reaches unto the heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth." He said, King Belshazzar, you knew about the power, you knew about the pride and the punishment, but sadly you've lost all sense of remembrance, reality, and restraint and respect. They already knew all about the God of the heaven. He already, he knew it. His grandfather taught it to him. Belshazzar knew in advance, but he still went ahead. And that's the process, the increments that he had gone through, not realizing what happened. And when we forget these things, we become blind to the fact that, like Babylon, or our problems are not primarily political, economical, or social. The decline of any nation stems from spiritual factors.
Yes.
Everything else is just symptomatic. But back to the banquet. I'm almost done. The hall is silent. It's quiet. Daniel now reveals the handwriting on the wall. Daniel 5:25. And this is the writing that was on the well, on the written, many, many tekel parzin. Many, many tekel parzin. Then came, verse 8, then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation of thereof. Then was the king, verse 9, King Belshazzar, greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. They couldn't figure it out. They could not figure it out. It means in verses 26 and 27 here, many, many tekel parzin, verse 26, and this is the interpretation of the thing many God had numbered, meaning numbered, thy kingdom and finished it. Verse 27, tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Verse 28, parzin, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. That's what God told him. That's what he told him. You are separated. Your days are numbered, numbered, God said. He emphasized the number. Your days are numbered and numbered. And judgment is coming. And you're going to be separated for all eternity from God. It was too late for him. But his end came. God warned him. God gave him enough time. God always warns. But people don't listen. Now, the ballroom is a scene of fright and terror, but there was one person who stood peacefully. Who was that? Who?
Daniel.
I'm sorry. My wife always says, hey, clean the wax out of yours. What?
Daniel.
There. Boy, I got that one. I can't leave here and say nobody told me. See, he wasn't scared. He wasn't concerned about his destiny because he knew the one who had written on the wall. It's good to know the one that's writing on the wall.
Yeah.
It's good to know the one who wrote this.
Amen.
And you'll be in peace and calm.
Amen.
When all the world is falling apart around us, you can stand there to a lost world and say, I know who wrote the word.
Amen.
He lives in me.
Amen.
He saved me. Yeah. He washed me by his precious blood. I've got the answer for you. The fifth chapter of Daniel concludes with these words, in the night of a drunken east, and the handwriting on the wall in Daniel 5, chapter 30, 31, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius in the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. He lost his life that night. He didn't know his life was coming to an end, but it did. While Babylon had partied with no sense of restraint or remembrance, the armies of the Medes and the Persians diverted the Euphrates River. They diverted it into a swampland, and they marched right into the city through the dry riverbed that ran under the city walls, and they took the city. In conclusion, God's judgment is certain. Did you hear that? God's judgment is certain. There's not a wall high enough or thick enough to prevent a person or a nation from falling where God writes many, many tekel parzin on the wall. Who knows how close we might be to our number being called, huh? Who knows? Who knows how close we might be to facing God's judgment? We may be in the beginning or in that right now. We don't know. One thing we can know for sure is which side we will be on when he separates the sheep from the goats, and he's doing that right now. Very few nations have had history like America. For over 200 years, we've been a shining light to the world around us. We've been a launch pad to take the gospel literally around the world to the very ends of the earth. We often hear people say, God is our only hope. But I wonder if God might be not our biggest threat in a nation that is rebelling. What is it about America that offers us exemption that neither Babylon or Israel were given? What is it? There's a last night for every nation and for every individual. There's a last night. Your number will be up one day. I bet those little children in Texas thought they were going to live all their life. I bet they thought they had their whole lives ahead. Moms and dads thought our children got their whole lives ahead. But their lives ended last week in a moment's time. In light of eternity, what is the kingdom of Babylon or any other nation compared to the kingdom that is forfeited by men and women without Christ? Our days are indeed numbered. We need to have a sense of urgency in exchanging our righteousness for the righteousness of Christ. Did you hear that? For whose righteousness? For the righteousness of Christ, not our own. Through the new birth, becoming born again is how we actually receive that. On this Memorial Day, as we remember those who gave so much for the freedoms we enjoy today, may we be reminded that the words of Daniel in 4:32, chapter 4, verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and they give it to whomsoever he will. So we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves, people. Amen?
Yes.
We need to remember, as in Daniel. Let's all stand, please. That's why Jesus died on Calvary's cross. That's why he gave us that hope for all eternity. Are you excited about the coming of Jesus? How many are excited about the coming of Jesus Christ? He is going to come. Nobody's going to stop it. If you just say, well, I really don't want him to because I got things I want to do. Too bad. Too sad. He's going to come. Not in our time. He's coming in his time. And I tell you what, it's going to be a glorious hope. There's nothing on this earth that is so great that it's going to be greater than heaven. And we have to realize that we have a mission as a people, that as we see our nation crumbling around us, that God's people have got to get active in our involvement in this world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's too many people who have got to the point where they just think, we're okay. We're a Christian nation. Look around. You know, one preacher put it this way. He said, don't tell me that you're willing to die for Jesus if you can't even come to church on Sundays. Don't tell me that you're willing to go to prison for the cause of Christ when you can't even come to church on Sundays. Good point. But I tell you what, today, Jesus' mercy and grace is here. He's given us another opportunity to tell you people within here or those listening by Facebook that Jesus said it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. But he's given us hope. He's given us amazing grace. He said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. That means separation, like Belshazzar I talked about. He got separated from God for all eternity. And that day, that number is coming for every one of us. If we don't know Jesus, we need to be ready. Amen?
Amen.
So I ask you today, with all every head bowed and eye closed, is there anybody in here that would say, Pastor, I need to get right with Jesus before my number's up because I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. If you don't know for sure and you're brave enough to walk out these walls again, you go ahead and do it. God will give you that opportunity. But if you're not sure, you better be sure. The Bible says we can know for sure that we are saved. That we know for sure. I know for sure I'm saved. You can know too. Is there anyone in here be willing to say, Pastor, I need to get right with Jesus? And don't let pride stop you. Pride will destroy us for all eternity. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day. We thank you, and Lord, help us as the body of Christ to remember what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Help us to remember every day and to praise you and to thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, help us to remember it's not us. It's not us. It's you working in us. You will lift us up or you will bring us down in our life. That will be you, Lord, as we live our lives according to your word, Father. You will guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit. And you will accomplish in us what you desire as we willfully surrender to you. And so, Father, I lift every person up here this morning. I pray that every household here, that you would bless them financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, in every area. And Lord, restore the things that the enemy has eaten from their lives. Lord, let the joy of the Lord become into the walls of their homes and their hearts, Father. And Father, help us to be a people to remember of those today that have given their lives for our freedom. They shed their blood. They sacrificed their lives so that we could have a place to come to worship you. We remember them and we thank you for them. And we, most of all, like Renee said, we remember Jesus. We remember you, Jesus, and we thank you. Lord, help us to go out with a fire in our hearts, waking up tomorrow, the next day, whatever, should Jesus tarry, to be ready to give answer, to be ready to share the gospel with a hurting person, somebody who is lost, somebody who does not know Jesus. Maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ that is going through difficulty. Lord, use me to touch them and to encourage them. Lord, help your church get on fire. Help it to be an evangelistic church. And Lord, we look for your hand to move in America. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch this great nation for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you all got to see me again. That means I'm alive. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. And just remember, God may send an angel unawares into your life. There may be an angel out there. Some may be all encountered. But I'm believing that God starts sending people into our lives where we share the gospel. Because God warned us there may even be angels that we're unaware that he's going to send into our life to test us. So be prepared. Be expectant. There's great things coming for God's people. I believe God's glory is going to shine on this world. And we need to prepare our hearts. The good with the bad, we got to see, hear those things. But they can be encouragement or they can be downers, however you want to accept it. I receive information as a positive. Thank you, God, for warning me and being prepared for what's coming. Because I'm ready. Just like Daniel, he was calm. I'm ready what's happening in the world. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to make it.
Amen.
Look at somebody on the way out and say, we're going to make it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Prayer also.